Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is none other than Apostle Sadie Elliott. So glad and elated you have stopped by the show today. We have an exciting topic that we are going to be talking about today. And before we start, let's have a few words of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do in each and every one of our lives. We thank you for this program, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. So we give you praise. We give you glory for who you are and whose you are, dear Heavenly Father. Your will in the middle of a will, dear Heavenly Father. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for being good. Thank you for being kind. Thank you for being everything that we need at this time, dear Heavenly Father. And as the show go forth, dear Heavenly Father, move me out of the way and let the Holy Spirit come in. Rest, rule, and abide with this program this day. Let others come in and be helped on the archives, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Today our topic is on commitment. What does it mean to be committed to Christ? You know, the achievement of any goal or purpose requires commitment, whether for good or for evil. The Bible speaks of commitment in both negative and positive ways. Committing a sin, you'll find that in Deuteronomy 22:2. And committing your ways to the Lord, you'll find that Psalms 37:5. You know, each alternative involves making a decision, turning oneself over to something or someone. A focus and sometimes costly perseverance, and then reaping the consequence or reward. Standing commitment and learn to commit our heart, mind, and bodies is central to a life of faith. In fact, faith devoid of commitment is dead. So today, what does it mean to be committed to Christ? Over in Matthew's, the 4th chapter, the 19th and the 20th verse, let's read what does say the word. Let's turn to that chapter. If you have your Bible, we will turn to that. Hallelujah. Matthew's the 4th chapter, starting at the 19th and the 20th verse, the word of God says, "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And 20 said, And they straightway left their net and followed him." Here it is showing what it means to commit to Christ. Here they was committed to Christ. They wasn't committed to what they was going to do. When he say, follow me, they realized, wait a minute, this is something better than what we've been doing. We're going to follow Christ. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to follow him and do what does say the Lord. And that's what we're going to need to do. For those that's not doing it, kudos to those that's doing it. For those that's not doing it, it's come upon in time where we're going to be needing and should have been needing to follow and be committed to Christ. You know, when we was talking about Matthew 4:29-20, Jesus called out to them, come be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people, not just for fish, but for people. And they left their net at once and went with him. Commitment to follow Christ requires a decision of the mind followed by an act of the will. And that's what we have to have today. It's committed to follow Christ requires a decision. We're the ones to make the decision. We can't depend on somebody else. We have to be the one that make a decision. Over in Psalms, let's turn to that. We're going strictly from the scriptures, and you can follow along if you have your Bible, and it's in your pages if you haven't tore them out. Let's turn over to Psalm 37 and see what thus saith the Lord. Okay, 37 verses 5 and 6 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. You know, we have to commit everything you do to the Lord, not to us. But when we're doing something, we got to commit everything to the Lord. Not something, but everything. When we're doing the things of the Lord, the working of the Lord, we have to commit ourselves to that. Over in Proverbs, let's turn over to that one today. Proverbs, the third chapter, the fifth and sixth verse, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. That's one of my favorite scriptures. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. You know, we have to seek God's will in all you do and he will direct your path. We have to commit to the Lord, manifest itself in obedient trust. But we have to seek God in all that we do. We can't go off half-cocked, you all. We have to seek God like never before. And over in Luke, we're talking about what it means to be committed to Christ. And I'm giving you some scriptures where you can go for your reference and read them at your leisure. Always have your paper and pencil. That way you can go back and see what I had. And you can read it for yourself. You don't have to just take my word. Read the scriptures for yourself. We're going to go over to Luke, the 14th chapter, and the 26th verse. And we're going to see what thus saith the Lord. The 4th chapter and the 26th verse say, if any man come to me and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You can't hate your father. You can't hate your mother, your sister, your brother, your wife, your brethren. We got to love them no matter what they done did to us, no matter what they done said about us. Over in verse 27 it says, and whosoever let me read that verse, 14:26. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And verse 28 say, for which of you intended to build a tower, sitting not down first, and counted the cost whether he had suffered to suffice to finish it? You cannot be my disciple. In other words, if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. But don't begin until you count the cost. It's telling us that in those three verses, commitment to Christ is costly because to follow him is to leave lesser but very attractive things behind. You mean to follow Christ? Sometimes depend on what it is. Sometimes we got to leave that fine home. We got to leave that town we love to follow Christ. He might send us somewhere. I used to say Bear Buck Egypt. I never heard if it's a time, but I came up with that name. I'm just using that example. He sent me from Denver to Texas, except for children and clothing and stuff. You punished us. I had to leave school, leave job, leave everything behind when God told me to move. I'm just using that for myself as an example. Since I've been here, I had to give up a lot of things to follow Christ. But I thank God for giving up what I had to be able to follow him. because it was better over on this side with Christ than it was on the world side with material possession, material things. And we have to know, commit to Christ is costly, because to follow him is to leave lesser but very attractive things behind. Sometimes you got to leave friends behind, loved ones. You want to bring them with you, but where God taking you to, they're not going to be able to go because they don't understand you. For first of all, they're thinking you're Looney Tunes because you listen to what God said and not what they're saying. But when you follow the instruction of God, he giving you a purpose. He giving you decisions to make. He have a goal in your life. Those are some of our tag words we're using today. Let's go over to Daniel today and see what Brother Daniel is saying concerning commitment to Christ. Because, you know, we have to give up something. A lot of people don't want to give up anything. They, you know, they want to hold on to every little old thing. But sometimes we can't hold on things. We got to give some things up and move on and do what God say do. We were bought with a price, you all. We were bought with a price. And over in Daniel, it was saying, if we are thrown into the blessed furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, your majesty can be sure that we will never serve your God. That means we're going to serve God. We're not going to serve something else that we know is not God. Something, somebody else done come up, somebody done made up. No, no. We're going to serve God because we know God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we know we have to do what the Lord say do. Not listening to, as y'all know, I say Bobo Sam Sausage Head. But we got to hear, what is the Holy Spirit saying to us? What do God want us to do? Which way do God want us to go? You know, you have to think about all that. You know, and in that same chapter, he's talking about commitment again. Commitment is being willing to suffer the consequence of obedience. That means for us to be obedient, we got to suffer the consequence sometimes. You don't ever know what it's going to be or how it's going to be, how it's going to come about. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be... all kind of things going to happen to you. But you got to know that you know what God is saying and what God is doing in your life. You just can't go off half-cocked. You got to be listening. For we can't be so busy where we don't hear what the word of God is saying to us. And over in Romans, let me turn to it. I'm giving you scriptures today to back up what I'm saying. That way you know you can check the scriptures for yourself and see what God is saying to you. Over in Romans, the 12th chapter, which is a familiar passage, over in verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You got to give your body to God. You say, God, you got to give him everything. Let him have total control over you. That's what we have to do. Commitment is more than intellectual agreement. It involves a sacrifice given of the whole self. That means we have a lot of time. No, you may not feel like getting up, doing this, and going this hill. But when you think about what all Christ did for you, how he sacrificed on the cross, you can sacrifice that piece of cake, that ice cream. You can sacrifice not going to that place or going to that place because he has your full attention. He's telling you something else to do. And that you're going to come out better on the long run. But on that other stuff, you're going to come out regretted. I wish I would have went there. I wish I would have did that. But then it's too late. You got to do what he said. Commitment is more than intellectual agreement. It involves a sacrificial giving of the whole self. That means, say, God, here am I, use me. That means you done give God permission to use every part of you from your head to your toe. You've given him permission. You don't know how he's going to do it, but you done already told him he can do it. That means he can count on you. You would not listen to Renee. We're talking today about commitment. What does it mean to be committed to Christ? You know, I know you said, well, why is commitment so hard? Let's go over to Nehemiah. I'm glad you asked me that question. Nehemiah, the 5th chapter. And the 16th verse says, yea, also I continue in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants was gathered, tilting unto the work. Here the servants was doing the work that they had been called to do. Here near my, I devoted myself to working on the wall. That means he devoted himself. Come with me. He didn't leave working on the wall to go see what Johnny May wanted across the town and Billy Sue. He know he was committed to doing a job that God had given him. I myself realized the task God had given me. I have to commit to doing what God say do. I'm not no more my own. I was bought with a price. When he was nailed on that cross, I knew I was bought with a price. I know he had suffered for me more than I would suffer for him. I know he has suffered for my family, for my friends, loved ones. And so I knew, you know, commitment is never easy. It requires courageous perseverance. You already know. A lot of times you want to do something and you say, Lord, I want to commit to that, but will I be able to do it? Will I be able to hold on? But when you make a commitment to God, God is looking for you to fulfill that commitment. No matter what it look like, no matter what it seems like. When you make a commitment, it's just like making a vow to the Lord, and you won't turn back. You know, I know you say, well, what can I do if I have broken a commitment? All right, I'm just going to tell you that. Let's go over to 1 John, because a lot of people have broke their commitment. So let's find it in Scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we, that means all of us, confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He say all. He didn't say some. He say all. And, you know, when we think about it, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful. He's a faithful God and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrongdoing. You know, if we break a commitment we have made to another, we have broken a trust. The only thing to do is to admit the wrong and ask the other person and God to forgive us. I'm going to say that again. What can I do if I have broken a commitment? First of all, we need to confess our sins to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he's a faithful God and he's a forgiving God. He's going to cleanse each one of us from every wrongdoing. Everything we say we wanted to do, we let the enemy or people or whatever come in between and not do the commitment what God had told us to do, and we promised God we would do. You know, if you break a commitment we have made to another, we have broken a trust. That means when you tell somebody that you're going to do something, always say, if it's the Lord's will. You know, a lot of times some people say, if the Lord's will, if I'm here tomorrow, if the creek don't rise, you know, different little things they have. But when we make a commitment to somebody, they're depending on us to fulfill that. If I told somebody I was going to be on their program at their church, unless some bad weather, sickness or something prevented me from going, I'm trying to keep that commitment. Now, if God don't want me to keep that commitment, He going to show me, he going to tell me, or he going to have that other person call me and say, well, we cancel out today or whatever. That means I didn't break the commitment, but the person that invited me, they made a commitment to cancel it. So that took me off of the hook. Otherwise, that took me off of showing up. That way I didn't have to lie to nobody. I didn't have to go to God for sinning because it was out of my control. It wasn't something that I did. So we have to know, you know, we have broken a trust. And a lot of people don't trust people no more, not in these days and time. Because so many people tell you things with their mouth, but their heart is far from it. They tell you all kind of little landish things that you think you want to hear. But are they really telling you what God says? Are they really doing what the Lord telling them to do? And, you know, we have to be faithful, faithfulness. We have to be loyal when we're talking about commitment. We can't say things verbally and forget it and go on doing something else. No, We have to be, as I always say, for real, you know. Excuse me. You know, even being faithful, you letting them know you can count on me. I will never let you down. That's what God told us. That is faithfulness. You know, God holds faithfulness up as one of his foundational qualities. And a foundational quality he expects from his people. There is nothing like the faithfulness of a mate, friend, and family, and God to build our sense of security. We're talking today about what does it mean to be committed to Christ. When you turn your, not just give the preacher your hand, but when you commit yourself to Christ, it don't mean it's going to be on easy street. You thinking when you came over here with joy, salvation, peace, you wasn't going to have no trouble. You wasn't going to have no trial, no struggle. Oh, yes, ma'am, you may end up having more than that sinner man because, see, you done turn away from the world and turn to Jesus. That means you done let that world go. That means you got to listen and lean and dependent on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you know you are bought with a price. You no more your own. You no more can do what the other fella do. And you know, loyalty can be defined as a relation and rational, highly personal form of commitment. Lawyer says no matter what happened around us or between us, there is no fear, doubt, or hurt that can make me turn my back on you. That's what you're telling a person. When lawyer is present, a relationship is secure and solid. When we live in insecurity and fear, the Bible teaches that loyalty is part of the character of God himself. He expresses his loyalty by refusing to give up on us no matter how we disappoint him with our sin. We express our loyalty to God through obedience to his word. My. You know, those committed to God find renewed strength. You'll find that in Isaiah, the 40th chapter and the 31st verse. Also, those committed to God will share in all his riches. When you committed to God, God will open many doors for you that you didn't know how them doors was going to open, but God will show you that I'm opening them doors on your behalf because you have been committed. You have been doing what I asked you to do without complaining, but without murmuring, but you went on and done what thus said the Lord. So when you think about that commitment, my. You know, so it's best to commit and stay on the Lord's side. You know, I'm going to read you one verse before I leave. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That means when we are committed to doing what God said, a lot of times I feel tired, but when I go to thinking about Jesus and how he died on the cross for me, and I go to praying and giving him thanks, when I get through, that tiredness gone, that hurting gone, I'm up doing what he have called me to do because I know the goal. I know the purpose he have given me. And I know I made a decision one day to follow Christ. So what does it mean to be committed to Christ? I hope all of you all that was listening today got a gesture and got some understanding. What does it mean to be committed to Christ? We try to commit to husband, wife, children, mother, and father. But when you commit to Christ, that's a whole different ballgame. So today, I'm glad for all of you all that came on today for the broadcast. And I ask you do come back next Wednesday. And we have a broadcast going to be on Wednesday for the Women Unified. I mean, not Wednesday, on Saturday for Women's Unified in Christ. And we have a wonderful topic that we will be talking about. And it should be out there. I think I put it on Facebook already. But please come back. We would love to have you with Women Unified in Christ on Saturday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's 1 hour. I know the Lord told the disciple y'all could not pray for 1 hour. So I'm asking you all that listen, tell others about it. Give them the phone number. Have them to come on. We would love to hear because I don't have all the answers. I'm just going by being committed to doing this here and doing what does say the Lord in his word. So I'm asking God for more power, more understanding, more wisdom, more discernment. So please come back on Saturday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. for Women Unified in Christ. We got to come, and if it's any men that want to come on, feel free to come on. We're inviting everyone to come on. And until next Wednesday, if I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each one of you all and tell you just how much I love you. So until next Wednesday, be blessed, and on Saturday, again from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., do come on. We'll probably be on either freeconference.com, Zoom, or either Blog Talk. So please, do come back. Love to have y'all. Bye-bye.